Welcome to Community Connections again, and we're going to change the pace yet a third time, or the fourth time this afternoon. And I should mention, of course, at 3 o'clock, Greg Carrick will be on with the Oz Indie Show, always a great show. And then we've got that new news show on at around 5 o'clock. So great afternoon coming up, and of course I'll be back next Wednesday. I've got three interviews. If you ask me who they are, I can't quite tell you at the moment. So anyway, we'll forget that. And I'll be back Sunday between 12 and 3 with Music Memories and More, and between 6 and 8 with a Rock and Roll Hit Parade. But we're here to talk to the Badger Creek Men's Shed. Now, we've spoken to Graham before. He's a secretary down there. And we've got the hedge honcho, the president, Greg. So welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, I know we're going to talk about the Men's Shed. But has there been anything happening? Because I think we've spoken to you since you had your open day, haven't we, when you were involved with the hall down there? Have we spoken to you since then?
No, I don't think we have after that. That went very well with the hall, and we had an open day from people that attended that, sort of welcomed them down to our shed. I think we had something like about 45 people come down and see the shed, and out of that we got about 3 to 4 new members on the day. So that
terrific.
Was good.
Graham, I think I've asked you this before. Do you find that you hear from a lot of wives and daughters saying, look, I think Dad needs to do something? Or do you find that they're more the men that are approaching you?
Certainly recently we've had a couple of couples come in, and with the wife and the husband, you know, come down to check the place out. But quite often it's men will see us, or we do a sausage sizzle down at the market now, and we're getting a bit more visibility there, and people are, you know, picking up brochures and cards and talking to us down there, and then ultimately one of them, you know, the men will come down and say hello and just see what we're doing down there, and then make a decision on whether they want to sort of join us or not. But we've had three people in the last fortnight, three men come in and that we'd met previously.
Yep.
And open days were down at the market, and they've come in and joined us. So we're looking forward to getting them sort of all trained up and ready to go.
So, Greg, I've asked, pardon me, Graham, on a past, what got him involved? What got you involved with the Men's Shed?
My wife got me involved.
There you go.
Yeah. And it's rather interesting. I think the coming generations, we now have a couple that have joined. That's Gary and Han. Gary is terrific. He spends a fair bit of time overseas, where his wife came from. But she's very interested in photography.
Yep.
And he's a wood man. He likes his wood. So I think it's a rarity, but we've got a couple that thoroughly enjoy their shed.
So the other thing, too, from what I understand, that Men's Shed isn't just about having to make something, is it? Like, there's a whole lot of other things around the Men's Shed.
Actually the secondary thing. The first thing is to who holds the record for the amount of biscuits you can eat in the time. And whether you're a coffee person or a tea person is very, very important. We have to sort of sit and discuss that.
But then after that, though, like you talk about photography, do you have a photography group?
Yes. They meet on Fridays.
Yep.
And they go out on excursions, all different times of the day. Yep. Sunset is good.
Yeah, you get some better photos then, don't you?
Yes, yes. And I don't think I can afford the equipment nowadays. My little box brownie just doesn't cut it nowadays.
Well, Greg Carrick, that's out in the office there, he used to do it professionally, so he's often out and about. But he's also saying you don't need the expensive equipment. He was saying that very often that he has got expensive equipment because he did it as a living. But very often he says some of these phones take just as good photos as what the more expensive cameras do.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Some of the phones nowadays are fantastic. They allow for the light, and you can zoom in and out. They're incredible. They do it all for you.
So, Greg, I'm keen just to go down this a bit further. So your wife, was she sick of you hanging around? Because the reason why I ask is a serious question, because there will be other wives listening and other men who can relate to your story. So
excellent.
Yeah.
No, we have actually four strings to our bow, apart from wood and steel and photography, but we also have IT. So we had an open day over 12 months ago now, isn't it, Graham, that we invited the community to come in. And we talked about scams, how to recognise a scam either on your phone or your tablet or your computer at home, and what steps you can take to avoid getting scammed and not sort of give your money away. So that was very, very popular, and we think we might get a grant to run that again very soon.
Because we're losing, and I talked to the Crime Stoppers. I spoke to them today from 12 to 12:30. And we've also had the Bendigo Bank in. We're losing millions and millions and millions of dollars in scams.
It's sadly far worse than you actually know about. Because if you can imagine, the banks don't want to tell people how much money they're losing. So, it's a sad situation where you're talking billions.
And I don't want to go down this track because we're not here to talk about this, but around Christmas time they were targeting widows, and I guess we never heard from any guys because I think they were probably a bit too embarrassed, but we heard from a number of women they were being or almost getting scammed because they were looking up their profiles, finding their widows and thinking, and then they'd look them up and they're saying, oh, it's going to be a lonely Christmas, rah, rah, rah. And they were targeting those people and there was a lot of money lost over that, which
very true.
I think is a pits, absolute pits. Look, I've got to take a quick break. I didn't want to get off on that tangent because it's a bit of a rant of mine. So I've got a couple of sponsorships. We've got to play and then we'll be back more and we'll be talking about the Badger Creek Men Shed. Guys, so now let's get back. I want to get off the scams and get back to what we came in to talk about. So I think, Graham, you mentioned you had wood, steel and something else that you do.
Yeah, well, our main areas of interest in our shed, and in most men's sheds will have a woodworking workshop side of it. A lot more now are also having the metalwork side.
Yep.
And then other clubs might have other activities as well. You know, I know sheds that have got a music club or a walking club.
And a gardening club.
Gardening clubs. Yep. We also have, as has been mentioned, a photography club.
Yep.
So the workshops are open on Mondays and Wednesdays from around about 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And the photography club is 10:30 to 12:30, 1 o'clock on Fridays. And they may be at our facility sort of talking the photography or looking at the photos they've taken and giving each other hints, or they might be out on an excursion taking photos to come back and examine the next week. So that's the general sort of
All right, so if when you talk about the wood, we'll take the wood for a start off. So do people come in and just make something for themselves? Do they work together to produce stuff, or do you produce stuff to sell? And this is all going into one question. Or do you also, like, if a particular organisation came to you and said, "Oh, look, this is broken in our place," do you do that sort of repair work as well?
Yeah. All of the above.
Yeah.
Literally. Yep. Yeah, literally. Everything you said is absolutely what we'd cater for.
We don't. There are some clubs that have specific things, sheds that have specific things they keep on making every week, but it becomes, in some cases, a bit repetitive.
Yep.
We don't have a sort of production line of things that we always produce. But
right.
Our main aim is that members will bring in their own jobs.
Yep.
People from the community that have got small jobs, particularly widows or women that are by themselves that need a bit of furniture or something repaired, or they'll bring it in and we'll help them out there. Particularly other community service organisations, if they need something made, you know, rotary lines, CFA, we'll do that for them as a community service. And And from time to time, we do have little projects. We're becoming a bit known of repairing garden benches. You know, the cast iron ends.
Yep.
We've been able to find some of those in hard rubbish and down at the market, and we refurbish them and then sort of sell them as a fundraising thing.
Yep.
And we're getting a bit of expertise there and a bit of known for that about town, and they are good things for help us with our fundraising, so we do those sort of jobs as well.
Because I guess at the end of the day, like, you need to buy some of this timber too, don't you, or steel or whatever you're working
in. That's right, yeah.
Yes.
You need your consumables, your nuts, your bolts, your screws, your glue, the timber, special timber for special jobs, so there's always a need to fundraise. We have been given the opportunity by the community market to run the sausage sizzle down there on the first Sunday of the month, and that's proving to be a good, steady fundraiser for us, and it's getting us out in the community. We're making a lot of contacts and seeing the same people. And
do you find that is there any grants available for men's sheds or
oh yes, many.
Is it
on about three different levels? The national Australian government give grants out. They're rather the larger ones. Victorian government gives us grants, but also the local shire has been extremely generous to men's sheds around. They'll give, I think their latest one is a $1,500 monthly grant. You can sort of come up with a community project that's going to benefit the elderly or children or a group, and you can apply for this monthly grant. And we've just been successful to get a grant for proper sun hats for our members, because we're getting sort of cancers and scares. A couple of our guys have had cancers removed from the top of their heads.
Yep.
So, we got a successful grant from the Shire of Yarra Ranges, and we've supplied all our members with a magnificent hat with Badger Creek on it.
Sounds good. So do you, as part of these grants, can you get grants to buy equipment, or do you have to buy your own?
No, you can get grants for specific equipment. Yep. We've just actually got a brand new dust extraction system, which is probably at about three or four functions. You know, it helps keeps the shed clean, but it's also benefiting the members' health.
They're
not breathing in dust and all the rest.
Yeah,
it didn't fully pay for it, but thanks to our fundraising with Graham and the secretary and the other members, We added a bit more money, and we've got a really suitable dust extraction for everybody.
So what sort of jobs can you do, like, with the equipment? Like, how I haven't been there, so, and neither of the listeners. So, I mean, can you only do little jobs, or have you got big equipment? What sort? And we're talking wood at the moment, because I'm going to talk about steel. I've got to take a break in a minute, and we'll talk about steel after that. Mm. But what sort of jobs can you do in the wood with the equipment you've got?
Well, taking from the smallest ones, we did a big job some years ago for the Shire after the fires went through the valley for the natural habitat. So there's something like 2 dozen possum boxes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
bird boxes. They said, well, look, they must be such and such a size. So we built all those and had them properly prepared for the outdoors so they could be situated out back in the forest. Refurbishing of outdoor garden benches, as Graham mentioned, that's a big one. And community families can come in and say, look, I've got this heirloom chair and it's busted, you know, can you fix it? And it might need lathe work, you know, proper legs turned. So we have lathes. We have a real commercial table saw, which you can do top quality furniture with and repair that, doors and hinges and all that sort of stuff.
All right, I'm going to take a quick break because a sponsorship announcement has popped up and they're the ones that keep us on air. We'll take that and we'll be back with more. And at about 5 to 3, Graham or Greg will give you the contact details, how to find them, any phone numbers, website and all that jazz. So have your paper and pencil ready and I'm sure they'll be able to tell you all about it. Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm talking to Greg and Graham from the Badgers Creek Men's Shed. Guys, why originally was Men's Shed set up? I can see it's a great idea, but someone had to have the idea. Who had the idea and how did it happen?
Yeah, well, it's a bit of conjecture as to where it started. There is a shed in Victoria that said it started with them, and there's one in South Australia. But basically, it sort of...
We'll stick with the Gippsland.
it all arose from the rationale that men are not very good at sort of looking after their health or talking about those things, where, you know, women will get a mate and go down and over a coffee, will sort of clear the air a bit and discuss these sort of things. But
or go with each other to a doctor, whereas guys won't.
Men, yeah, that's right, and men won't. So basically the men's shed movement has all come out of men's health and well-being. And that's why the federal government, the state government and the Shire they support it well with grants and things, because they see it's a way of getting men to get together
and talk, open up.
You know. And as we say in the men's shed, women will talk face-to-face. Men are a bit difficult about doing that, but they'll talk shoulder-to-shoulder as they work at a bench and things like that and start discussing things and open up. And then they sort of can talk about their health issues and then get support, mutual support from friends and things like that. So it all started as a men's health organisation. Well, it is a men's health organisation. And that's why all the governments are happy to help it with grants. So you can get grants to start a shed, to get equipment, to get, you know, other little bits and pieces from a health OH&S point of view to make it a much safer environment. And they're happy to support it. And it works because, as we said, men together around the table in the morning having a cup of tea, there's a lot of banter there, a lot of fun, and there's a lot of discussions about things that are concerning people and talk them through.
So do you find that apart from, like, people join the men's shed and they're there a couple of days a week and they rock down and do their thing, do you find that also rubs off that some of these guys talk to each other when they're not at the shed, that, you know, they might bring someone up and say, mate, I've got a bit of a problem here?
Do
you
find... absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, relationships get developed between members of the shed, and, you know, they'll go out and have a coffee or and go out together with the families and things like that. Those sort of things develop, but they get comfortable in raising issues that might be worrying them.
And that's, I don't know if you heard the last interview that I was talking to Chris with the Vets for Fishing. That's one of their bases, isn't it, that they go off and find that if you went and sat a person down, asked them and said, well, what's your problem, they'd probably either tell you to buzz off or nothing to do with you. But they find out when they're doing stuff, and I can understand the same with your organisation, if you're working away building something and then someone says, oh, I don't feel real good, or this has happened, or, you know, and relationships break down, all sorts of things. So do you find that it's not only they're talking about their own health, they're talking about other things as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
the major one is other interests. You know, Graham had interests with his career, and I had an interest in my career, which is IT. I'd never put a nail into a piece of wood, but
a lot of us haven't.
Yeah, but now I can turn a biro. I can make wooden biros. I can build little cabinets. Yep. I must admit, I'm one step up from a bird box. I've discovered I can make a bird apartment.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was just going to ask, the next question I've written down here to ask you, what is there any sort of qualifications a guy, and I don't mean like degrees or anything, you mentioned that you hadn't hit a nail, and neither have I. Well, I have, because I had to financially, I couldn't afford, and we've all done that. But do you find that a guy can come in and really not know much about woodworking or steel and yet still fit in, and then after a while they learn from others?
Absolutely, yes. That's one of the cores of Men's Shed. We support one another.
Yep.
And part of that is to say, well, if you need help on how to learn to use a drill or a saw or a planer, there's lots of people that can take you through that.
We do.
It's another skill.
It's part of our induction. We do train people up on the major pieces.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Graham, because that was going to be another question. Like, obviously, you just can't let people walk in the door and you've got this equipment there and they can take an arm or a finger off really quick. So I'm particularly talking to the audience here now that you know, I'm talking that some have worked in offices and I worked in sales and marketing. I've never worked with my hands at all. So obviously those guys, you're given induction before they touch any machinery, wouldn't you?
Yes, that's right. They get a general induction on what's going on, and, you know, safety and OH&S is important to that. Yep. But before they, you know, get onto a machine by themselves, they'll go undergo some training on that bit of equipment, our major pieces of equipment, you know, hand tools and things like that. Well, everyone knows how to use those, but when you're talking about a table saw or a bandsaw or a drop saw or sanders and things like that we've got down there, well, people need to know how to use those correctly, safely, but also that they don't overstress the equipment and things like that. So,
and they're unforgiving, those sorts of machinery too, aren't they?
So they'll get trained on it.
Yep.
And then once they're trained on it, they can operate it by themselves. But until such time as they're trained, it doesn't stop them working on their own jobs. But then they will have another member of the shed who is trained on that equipment to mentor them whilst they're using it, whilst they're doing their little project.
So do you find that, apart from the member, or among your members, you've got people who have been tradesmen, so that if me, Alan the Goose, comes in and knows nothing, have you got sort of a level or different levels of people there, like someone who's actually worked in wood or steel all their life, and then others who are just learning, and then someone like me who knows nothing?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, that's a pretty good description, really, of the level of people we get. It's all fields of work.
Yep.
All ages. We can take them as low as 18 years of age.
But you wouldn't get
up to 88.
You wouldn't get many in the lower age group because they'd be busy working.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that because we did, over the last year and a half, we have had a 17-year-old, 18-year-old there, young fellow.
I'm glad you mentioned him because I saw you in the paper.
That's right.
Presenting him with a toolkit or something.
That's
A carpenter's tool belt because He, after 1.5 years with us, we like to say that it was our skills that sort of sent him along the line to go and do some carpentry training. Yep. But he's now undertaking carpentry, of course.
An apprenticeship,
and we sort of sent him on his way with a little starter pack of a carpenter's belt because, he was great to have down there. Having a young fellow in amongst all us old blokes too, you know, we taught him a lot of things, but he taught us a lot of things.
I bet he did too. Some of those would take on very quickly new skills, wouldn't they, as a 17-year-old as opposed to a 77-year-old who might not take it on quite so quick.
Yes, and he brought some interesting little projects down to do himself, and he got some advice from some of our more skilled people, and away he went and did them,
That's terrific.
It sort of got him interested in that career.
And that's terrific because I did see that in the paper where that you were presenting something. So how did he get there? Was at uni or something, so he had time available during the week?
No, he wasn't doing uni, just finished high school, and I think he decided that he was having a sort of a gap year, and he came down and with us, was there for about a year and a half, and then has undertaken this carpentry training now.
And he'd have a different level of a skill, and he wouldn't be talking about the prostate cancer and all this sort of stuff, would he?
No. He sits there in the morning over a cup of teas and the eyes were spinning as we were talking about things like that.
All right, so of a morning, we'll say that it's this morning. You were there from 9 till 3?
Yes.
9 to 3.
Yep, that's pretty
All right, so at 9 o'clock this morning, the doors open, Alan the Goose and all these other mates walk in. What happens?
Well, the first hour is a cup of tea.
Right.
And we sort of get in, and this is where we talk a lot of things, and a lot of subjects are brought up.
Six biscuits. Don't forget the six biscuits.
Yeah. We sort out the problems of the world, where someone might mention something about their health or whatever, or something that's going on in the world, but it was a general discussion, a lot of banter, as I said, a lot of lies told, of course.
How good they were.
And then at 10 o'clock, we then say, okay, we then go out into the shed. Right. And we're there until 12, and then we come in for an hour's lunch because we'd make that specific like that so that over that luncheon period there's not someone still working in there because we've always got to have at least two people in the shed at any one time.
Oh, do you?
That's safety. Standard rule.
So we just close the shed down for lunch and then go back out at 1 o'clock and through to 3 o'clock and then lock up after that.
Yep. So I broached on it before, and Greg said that he makes pens and that. You don't, like I know some men's sheds have create a whole lot of stuff and sell it for Christmas presents. So that, do you do any like that at all?
Nothing officially, yep. Alan, on that. It's basically, I think that John did little Christmas trees out of wood, sort of two pieces that interconnect in the shape of a Christmas tree. I'm thinking about possibly making very simple wooden toys, little aeroplanes, yep. little cars, whatever, little bikes. Some sheds really rely on that, and it's yep. a community thing. They yep. donate them to worthy causes. We're lucky here in Hillsville we have Hickey.
Yes,
with
yep.
People in need, so there's an outlet there.
Yep.
But, there's a fair bit of community. People come in with repair jobs or yep. ideas that they've got that they don't have the wherewithal to build
yep.
and wondering, could the men's shed help them with that?
So
it's good.
Well, let's just do the cut. Go down that track just for a couple of seconds. So if somebody comes in and I bring in an old chair and say, could you fix it? You'd obviously charge for that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, basically it depends if they've brought their own wood, you know, if they've
yep.
think, well, no, this is the wood I want you to use,
yep.
or we can supply a lot of wood. But generally it's we'll charge a very minimal amount.
But
basically on the hour that you might spend. So you might yep. have a nominal hourly rate, $5, $10, whatever.
Yep.
It just depends on how much.
But that would be different if it was a community group, wouldn't it? If I came in, well, we'll say representing Hickey, something's fallen apart down there and they brought it in. So you'd be happy to do those
yeah,
jobs.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. For the
yeah.
community,
yeah.
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 yeah. As long as we've got the wherewithal and the tools, yeah, we probably... The best part is getting three or four people working together.
Yeah.
Because that's a big thing, men working together, not yep. by yourself. If you work together, then you triple your enjoyment.
Yeah. Graeme, I want to go back to something you said, and I just can't remember what you said, but you said something about talking and then shoulder to shoulder. What was that again, please?
Well, yeah, it's sort of known that women quite happily will go to with a mate down the shop and have a coffee, and you know they're talking face
yep.
to face. But
yep.
men, which means they're open to each other.
Yep.
Men are notoriously bad about that, you know, particularly yep. on health issues. You know,
yep.
we won't even go and see a doctor. So face to face is a bit difficult for men. But if
yep.
they're working at a bench or even sitting around our table,
yep.
we've got a big round table for morning tea.
Yep.
We're more or less shoulder to shoulder, and it's just banter going on as you're doing what you're doing. So it's not as personal, you know,
face-to-face, shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, so and you know, the shoulder to shoulder is the connection to, you know, in a workshop, actually working at a bench
yep.
and you're working on things together, and as you're working on it, you're talking about things. So that's the way that a lot of this gets opened up and people start talking about their problems and their health and things like that, and we help each other.
I've just got to take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
She's kicking off her work boots, she's peeling off her shirt, shotguns of beer in the shower, she's washing up the work. She got your night turned up way loud. Well, country is coming to town. Yeah, she's putting on some makeup. She's squeezing in her dress. Pouring out a little pregame. Yeah, you know what's coming next. But when she walks in the bar, all her head's spinning around. Country is coming to town. A country is coming to town. A country is coming to town. Cut loose and getting loud. Lining them up and throwing them down. It's all in with the outback crowd. A country is coming to town. She's cutting up the dance floor, yelling at the band, shaking all night long, Sweet Home Alabama. She's a hot mess, goodness, look at that short dress, make a city slicker, wanna get up on a stand. Oh, look out. Whoa, here she comes.
A country's coming to town.
Here she comes.
A country's coming to town.
Oh, yeah.
A country's coming to town.
From the FNQ to way down south.
A country's coming to town. We're gonna show you what it's all about. Country's coming to town. Is coming to town.
Our time with the Men's Shed, the Badger Creek Men's Shed's fast coming to an end. We've got about here at 5 to 5, we'll be long gone by then, 5 to 3, because Greg will be on with the Oz Indie Show, and of course I'll be back on Sunday between 12 and 3 and with Music Memories and More, and between 6 and 8 with a Rock and Roll Hip Parade. So we'll have plenty of great old 60s music on Sunday, and next Wednesday I'll be back between 12 and 3. Yeah, anyway, I've got three interviews. I just can't remember who they were. Graham, you was just saying before that there's a bit of a theme going around trying to get men out of the house, because one of the things that can happen in an area that people can live in Melbourne, Lilydale and all that, or Rigmond, and they move to Hillsville and they don't know anyone. Or the other thing is you can live here for 30 years and you drive off to work in the morning, you come home, it's nearly dark, you have your tea, and particularly when the kids are growing up, they've been involved with sport, and then all of a sudden this all comes to an end, retirement, and this is where it can be a real problem, can't it?
Yeah, well, that's right, and that's exactly where the Men's Shed can come in, because quite often when men retire, you know, they might spend the next 6 months saying, well, you know, I'm going to improve my golf game, but after that you tend to sort of be sitting at home, perhaps looking at TV or reading the paper, but... Yep. And not doing anything, but yep. this is a time that you know, they can get a bit isolated, socially yep. isolated,
very isolated,
a bit depressed or
yep.
whatever.
Yep.
And this is the time to come down the shed. And as I say, there's a bit of a theme at the moment, sort of more or less targeting the wives and partners out there, and the theme is send him down the shed. So if you're finding ladies, if you're finding the man hanging around at home, and just get him down to the shed and we'll look after him.
One of the complaints I've heard from women over the years of doing this show is that hubby says, oh, I'll come shopping with you. And wifey wants to go in. She wants to look at different things on the shelves and have a look at and see what's in them and all that. And hubby keeps on saying, come on, let's go home. Let's get this car home. So obviously a lot of the women would be very happy to do the shopping by themselves.
That's right. And send him down the shed.
That sounds fantastic. Look, guys, it's great to have you in. I always like to catch up with you guys because I think it's a great organisation. And one of the things, and I know Graham's heard me say this ad nauseum before, is that one of the biggest killers, they say, in the next 20 years will be isolation if we don't do something about it. We're the best connected we've ever been with iPhones, iPads and all that jazz, but as human beings, we need interaction. And particularly, I think, one of the greatest is guys being with guys. So tell us how we're going to find out more about the Badger Creek Men's Shed, please, guys.
All right, my turn. Okay.
Someone better say something.
Okay, so three. We have an email, which is very popular. If you need any information, please don't hesitate.
Yep.
Now, I'll just wait for a second or two till you get your pencil and paper.
Oh, they've got it.
Good, excellent. So it's badger-creek@outlook.com.
Again, please.
Yes, badger-creek@outlook.com.
Yeah.
And that will get to our committee and you'll get a good response back.
All right.
Now, the other one, Facebook, we have we're classified as a group.
Yeah.
So it's Badger Creek Men's Shed.
Can't get much easier than that, can you?
No, that's it. And you'll find Graham is there all the time. He will answer all the problems on the emails, and yep. the copy will come to me as president and the other members of the yep. committee. Facebook, we can all look at it.
Yep.
So people, if they're not sure, can get information from other people who might have a similar query. So it's always a good thing.
Yep, and with Facebook, it's just a case of searching Facebook for Badger Creek Men Shed.
Yes, if you've got a presence on there, hit the groups and then just put in Badger Creek Men Shed and you'll find us there.
Can't do much better than that. And it's badger-creek@outlook.com.
That's correct. Yes.
Can't do much better than that. So, look, have a look at it. And if we've got mum, and not only that, mum, I know some daughters get worried about dad. And I guess the other thing is, too, which we've only got a few seconds to touch on, is I guess it wouldn't hurt if there's a retired builder out there or somebody who's prepared to come along and help do with some knowledge, don't they? Because one of the things that happens when people retire, what they've done disappears.
That's very good. We have had in the past a builder and have taken on the training role and making sure that, you know, we're all skilled up before we use the equipment. So, yes, any builders out there retired, come down and see us.
Non-paid experts. Yeah, that's what we're after.
Well, I mean, but let's be honest, that's what happens. If you have had the skill of a builder and you retire, it just disappears. Guys, look, I've got to go. Unfortunately, it's time for Greg to be along with the Oz Indie Show. It's great to have you along. Always like talking to you, and I wish you well, and we'll have you back again to talk about us.
Greg, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much.